chemical world, and I am a chemical girl. You know we are living in a chemical world, and I am a chemical girl.
Hello and welcome to Chemical World. I am your host, Maggie Seldin, aka Mugsy Fay, and it is just a little after 4 p.m. on Monday, January 13th. Happy 2025, new year, same me, here to talk with y'all about emergent trends in the world of drugs and mental health as we here at Chemical World and our affiliate organization, Hierarchies Harm Reduction, believe that problematic drug use is a symptom of untreated or undertreated or undiagnosed or underdiagnosed mental health conditions, that drugs and alcohol are a very human thing, that it is very common to use substances to treat our pain, to relax, to recreate, and yet sometimes drugs and alcohol can cause some very serious health problems and concerns, but very often this negative substance use is a result of exactly what we here at Chemical World love to talk about, which is mental health issues. So we're kicking off the new year with a bit of review for the lovely listeners about what it is we do here at Chemical World and Hierarchies Harm Reduction. And I wanted to start off the year kind of digging into some drug trends that we have been seeing across Colorado and across the nation. As you know, it's always kind of three steps forward, two steps back. Again, people have been using drugs for all time, so these problems really never go away, but it is exciting to take a look at the work that's been going on, the kind of successes that we've had in recent years, and also, most importantly, what we can do to keep ourselves and the people around us safe, whether or not they choose to use. So, of course, we talk a lot about overdose prevention here on Chemical World and over at Hierarchies Harm Reduction, because a lot of what we do is overdose prevention education and learning how to use naloxone to respond to an emergency overdose, and or just knowing that naloxone, e.g. Narcan, is a safe over-the-counter drug that is out there. And even if you yourself aren't comfortable using it, just knowing that paramedics have it, that calling 911 is effective, that you can't get in trouble for calling 911, and there is a cure, is something I will never stop harping on, because, you know, we save a lot of lives. And it's hard to always really feel the impact, because, you know, we have these little successes. Like with many jobs, we have successes, and it's hard to stop and celebrate them before getting on to the next task, the next thing we have to do, the next situation we have to save, or whatever the case may be. So I felt it would be kind of nice to kick off the year talking about a huge success, which is the national and statewide decrease in overdose deaths that we saw in 2024, which is really exciting. According to the Colorado Consortium for Prescription Drug Abuse Prevention, a mouthful but an amazing organization that does a lot of great work across the state, overdose deaths declined in the state of Colorado and across the nation from July 2023 to July 2024. Colorado had a 3.9% decrease in overdose-related fatalities, which is super exciting, because if you've been following me or ever seen any of my slides or any data slides talking about this, it's been a really drastic, almost like hockey puck data graph of this exponential rise in overdose deaths over the past 10 years and really increasing over the past 5 years, largely fueled by synthetic opioids such as fentanyl, which I will today, as every day, talk a lot more about. But just looking at that data a little bit for the state compared to the nation, the United States on average actually experienced a 16.9% decrease in fatal overdoses in that year, summer of 2023 to summer of 2024. So there's a huge decline in overdoses happening across the nation, which is really exciting. I've been hearing a lot about just young people moving away from, you know, the really nasty drugs and alcohol, because of course all drugs have what's called a therapeutic threshold, meaning how much of this drug it takes to kill you. And drugs like fentanyl and even heroin and alcohol and a lot of prescription pharmaceutical drugs, it unfortunately doesn't take a lot of these drugs to kill you. They have some amazing benefits for folks, but they're also pretty scary at times, right? And so of course drugs like cannabis, psilocybin, plant medicines, you can use these a lot safer without that risk of death. And what we're hearing and seeing, and this isn't necessarily from the Colorado Consortium, but more my colloquial anecdotal data from lots of articles I've been reading and conversations I've been having, is that young people are just less interested in these drugs that kind of just kill you and disassociate you from reality, which again has a great benefit depending on where you're at in your current life path. Disassociating can be helpful, but long term, it can also be really detrimental to our mental and physical health. So exciting to see young people in our nation really more interested in these plant medicines, these drugs that can increase our awareness, increase our relationship with ourselves and those around us. So I think, you know, part of that too is just the risks with fentanyl is drug experimentation has never been more dangerous. I'm not going to say it was safe in the 60s or 70s. It's never really been safe to use illicit drugs you buy on the street because you never know what's in them. But now this synthetic opioid fentanyl that's being produced in an illicit form, again, it has great benefits in medicine and is commonly used to treat acute pain and surgery and post-surgical care. But when we're seeing this illicit manufacturing and this white powder that can potentially disguise itself in anything, the risks are very, very high for folks. And, you know, it's not necessarily going to be every bump of cocaine that has fentanyl in it, but it just takes one to end a life, right? So I'm really excited about the 3.9% decline in Colorado, because some of our Western neighbors, Oregon, Washington, Utah, Montana, and specifically Nevada, have actually seen increases in overdoses in recent years. And so even though we're, you know, almost a quarter of the national decrease, any decrease is positive after years and years of just going up and up. And I gotta think that this is because, at least in part, to people being more aware of the presence of fentanyl in the illicit drug supply, and also people being more aware of Narcan and Naloxone, same drug, just different brand names, out there as a tool to combat overdoses. People are carrying Narcan so that they can respond in an emergency. And still, after years of doing this work, I commonly get the response of, oh, I don't need that. I'm not a drug addict. I don't use drugs. That's great. That's probably not 100% true if you want to talk to me for about 5 minutes and figure out what your personal drug of choice is. But also, Narcan isn't a tool that you're going to use on yourself if you overdose. Overdoses happen way too quickly for you to be able to give yourself a nasal spray in the right amount of time and retain the motor skills necessary to do that. We carry Narcan so that we can respond if we see an emergency, whether that's in our home, at a party, or out in the streets. And again, you don't have to, you know, be willing to provide that first aid. Not everyone's super comfortable with that. But if you see something, say something. And it never hurts to use Narcan. It doesn't do anything to somebody if they're not experiencing an opioid overdose. So absolutely better to have it and not need it than to need it and not have it. And folks having it and using it and calling 911 and getting people the appropriate medical care, I mean, I'd like to think that drug use overall is a little down because of what we've been talking about, because of the risks out there. But the reality is that drug use never really goes away. People have pain. People have needs to use substances, or just the desire to get in a different state of mind to, you know, maybe enjoy your night better or differently. There's all sorts of reasons why people use drugs, and that's never really going to go away. But we can use evidence-based practices to prevent unnecessary loss of life. And I feel compelled to say, you know, for those of you out there, if you're still listening to this and you feel like drug addicts are, you know, responsible for themselves and we shouldn't be doing anything to help them, just think about your own life and if you've ever known somebody who's struggled from drugs and alcohol. And I hope to think that you can think of at least one person in your life that you know or that you know of, and it could be Joe Biden or Donald Trump, people who, for whatever reason, have addressed issues that they've had or may have in their families and have decided, you know, I don't want to drink, I don't want to use drugs, or have whatever, you know, moved away from that lifestyle in some way. We have to give people that opportunity for recovery. We have to believe that success is possible. And I believe that success is possible because I've seen it time and time again. I can open my Instagram and see 100 stories every day of people who used to have very bad habits, whatever. That sounds a little judgmental, but, you know, situations in their life that were less than ideal that they have overcome and gotten better. But if they die from fentanyl poisoning or an overdose, they don't have the opportunity to get better, to give back to their communities. And that's what we want to offer people. And, you know, some people might never be able to get to that point. We just hope that we can get people to having a little bit more happiness in their life than they are today. And I think all of us have room for a little bit more happiness. And so our work goes so far beyond overdose prevention, but it goes connecting people with care, providing people with support, following people along their journeys, and really helping them describe in their own words what a better quality of life looks like and creating actionable plans to get to that. So if you're at all interested in any of this, we can help. But getting back to our emergent drug trends, pardon my little diatribe, but they come so naturally. We have seen some decreases in overdose death, but I wanted to make sure I talked a little bit more about what we are really seeing and hearing with fentanyl, because there's been a lot of misinformation out there. Number one, you cannot overdose by touching fentanyl or providing first response to somebody who is experiencing a fentanyl overdose. Drugs just don't work that way. You can't just touch something and immediately consume it into your body. Fentanyl, I don't know that they really do this much, but used to be prescribed in transdermal patches for topical pain relief. And what we see with that is that it takes all the medical science that we can muster to get this drug from a transdermal patch through your skin. And one of my favorite folks, who is, I believe, the director of the Colorado Consortium for Prescription Drug Abuse Prevention, Dr. Rob Valick, I've seen him speak about how you could put one of those transdermal fentanyl patches on each finger, on each hand, and you still wouldn't overdose from that. So even though illicit fentanyl is, you know, impure, potentially stronger, unregulated, all these things, you cannot, like, with your finger touch a powdered drug and consume it through that finger. So there has been a lot of misinformation about that in previous years. This has been widely debunked, but I think it's good to come back to, because, you know, misinformation and rumors can continue to circulate. And even though I talk about this all the time, maybe you've heard about this before, we just want to make sure we're getting this information out there over and over again to folks who maybe haven't heard it before. And with that said, there has also been a lot of misinformation about fentanyl contaminating various drug supplies, right? It doesn't hurt to say that fentanyl can be in anything because, again, better safe than sorry. But, you know, there were some, and there kind of continues to be some conversations around fentanyl contaminating the cannabis supply or weed at any point in time. First of all, if you buy weed from a dispensary, it's never going to be contaminated. It has to go through all these regulatory processes. It's very safe for consumption. And that's the beauty of decriminalization and the ability to buy your substances in a store like alcohol or tobacco. But we have heard from our science people out there in the world that fentanyl needs to burn at about 220 degrees Fahrenheit. Otherwise, it just evaporates without you actually being able to inhale the drug and get the psychoactive effects of that drug. So when you're smoking weed in an open air pipe, like a classic glass or metal pipe, you're going to burn up that fentanyl and you're not going to be able to actually get it that way, if that makes sense. So even if, you know, as they're saying is happening in some parts of the country, they're dipping cannabis into this liquid fentanyl, it still would not burn that way. With drug trends, things are constantly changing and emerging, and new things are always coming up. So again, I think it's always better safe than sorry, but it is hyper unlikely that you will ever come across
cannabis that when you smoke it, you are also smoking fentanyl, because that's just not how it works. People are largely smoking fentanyl in pill forms in closed glass pipes that allow it to conduct a lot more heat to get to that 220 degree burning point, whereas even vape pens only burn to about 180 degrees. But if you have questions about this or anything else I'm talking about and would like to, you know, contest what I'm saying, I would love to hear from you. You can reach out to me at Maggie@HighRockiesHarmReduction.com. I'm always open to learning more and changing my viewpoint based on new information. And this is just the best information that we have out there. Similarly, we've heard a lot of reports of cocaine being contaminated with fentanyl and possibly methamphetamine as well. It is very possible that this is happening. Again, you know, we have these reports saying that it's happening, but reports are often largely unsubstantiated, which makes it difficult for us to really know what is going on. It only takes a very, very small amount of fentanyl to kill somebody. So, you know, cross-contamination does occur in the illicit drug market, and that could lead to people being contaminated through cocaine. But I'm hearing a lot of mixed messages from law enforcement partners and different organizations seeing different things in terms of cocaine contamination across the state of Colorado. At High Rockies Harm Reduction, and a lot of other places are starting to do this as well across the valley and across the state, we do provide free fentanyl test strips, and I've also heard anecdotal reports of methamphetamine and or cocaine testing positive for fentanyl. So I thought I would take this opportunity to actually kind of give a little in-depth explanation of why we might be seeing false positives in some of our stimulants. So if you're out there and you are interested in testing your drugs with fentanyl test strips, or this is something you've already been doing or done in the past, I want to make sure folks are aware that you need to use a different amount of water to test the different drugs. So if you are testing cocaine or heroin or pills, you only need to use a very, very small amount, about a half teaspoon of water, to dilute a very, very small amount of crushed up powder form of the drug, to dilute it for testing for fentanyl. If you're testing methamphetamine or MDMA, you need to use about a half cup to a cup of water to test. We have seen that meth and MDMA have these amphetamine chemicals in them that lead to higher false positives for fentanyl. So all of these instructions can be found at www.highrockiesharmreduction.com by clicking the fentanyl tab. We have some instructional videos and literature there for how to test. We also have this information in all of our brochures, but it has been difficult to really make this a valuable resource for our rural Colorado participants, because we on average use a lot more stimulants in our communities, whether it's cocaine or meth or MDMA, whereas a lot of these instructions have been written for people who are using opioids, whether it's heroin or prescription pharmaceuticals. And the reality is that you really can't get heroin or like real oxy on the street anymore. It's mostly going to be fentanyl. So you can, you know, be pretty assured that your oxys with an M on one side and a 30 on the other are fentanyl. Take the smallest amount possible and see how you feel. But with these other drugs, the fentanyl test strips are really, really not super great at testing stimulants. And so I just really encourage folks to like absolutely be testing your drugs. I love to hear reports from people about, you know, how using the fentanyl test strips worked and what people are hearing and seeing out there on the streets. But really be aware of that water difference and the reality that there could be methamphetamine in your cocaine. So if you're getting a positive, maybe add some more water and see if you continue to get a positive. Again, all of this is better safe than sorry. And at HighRockiesHarmReduction.com, you can also find the Contact Us tab. My contact info is there. You can email me, text me, call me, DM me on Instagram or Facebook, whatever route feels most comfortable to you. And we are out there in the community getting free fentanyl test strips, free Narcan, and other supplies. Again, you can find our whole schedule on the website. We are in Aspen and Snowmass every Thursday, Carbondale and Basalt every Friday. And early in 2025, we will be rolling out a Glenwood location every Wednesday. We are also out in Leadville, Breckenridge, Eagle, Edwards, that whole area. So again, you can find our whole schedule to access these awesome free supplies at HighRockiesHarmReduction.com, as well as my contact info if you have questions, want to talk about any of this with me at all in more depth. But that kind of leads me into another emerging drug trend that we've been seeing. Xylazine is a new drug that has also been contaminating the opioid supply. We haven't seen a ton of this here on the Western Slope yet, but this has already become pretty commonplace in Denver to have a mix of xylazine and fentanyl in the quote-unquote heroin supply. I say quote-unquote because it's not really much or any heroin or opium at all. It's a lot of fentanyl and xylazine. And you can really tell that someone is using xylazine, whether it's on accident or on purpose, because it creates a necrotic wounds on the body that are not at the site of infection or injection. Excuse me. These infections are actually created in other parts of the body. And this is something to do with the way that xylazine affects our immune system. Xylazine is also a tranquilizer used in veterinary medicine, so naloxone won't work on it. But if somebody has fentanyl and xylazine in their system, and I mean, really, no matter what the situation, it's always recommended to use Narcan if somebody becomes verbally unresponsive. But with the presence of xylazine, the person's breathing might be restored, but they might not wake up right away because they'll still have that tranquilizer in their system. So remember, with overdose prevention and response, we're really just trying to make sure a person is still breathing and continuing to check on them. And so Narcan can be very helpful with that, especially in our varied drug supply. But I think we need to be aware that xylazine and other opiates and tranquilizers are continuing to contaminate the drug supply. So while fentanyl is still a huge risk, there's always other things out there. And we can just keep our fingers crossed and hope that the science catches up with it. There are xylazine test strips available now, and we do carry those, but those are absolutely not good for stimulant use at all. These are only for opioids, but we're also very excited that I've talked about this on the show before. Some legislation passed in 2024 allowing us to now, as harm reduction program staff, be able to legally have possession of small amounts of drugs for the reason of testing them. So there's still a lot to iron out there, but we are working on bringing some advanced drug checking methods to our services across the valley and across the state so that we can hopefully, you know, slowly suss out what exactly is going on in this drug supply and do everything we can to keep folks safe, happy, and healthy. Even if folks aren't, you know, the safest, the happiest, or the healthiest today, we do everything we can to get folks the supplies they need to show people a little bit of love and compassion in a scary and negative at times world. We are out here just trying to do everything we can to promote safer and healthy communities one day and one little baby step at a time. So while there is, you know, a lot out there still to be a little afraid of looking ahead into 2025, it is still exciting to start it off with a little bit of good news. And while it does feel like three steps forward, two steps back, that's still one step forward in the long run. So we're starting out the year with the first decline in overdoses on a national and statewide scale in really quite a while. And even a small decrease, like 3.9%, is very exciting. And I'm super grateful to all the folks out there that have taken it upon themselves to come and get Narcan, to reach out to us about where to find it. A reminder that it's not just High Rockies Harm Reduction that gives out free Narcan and fentanyl test strips, but a lot of agencies are starting to do this. And Narcan itself is now over the counter. You can buy it for $45 from any pharmacy. And if $45 is still a little too expensive for you, you can go to the pharmacy counter and ask for generic and also ask to have your insurance cover it. We are also still distributing free Narcan at the public health offices in Glenwood and Rifle. So it's a little form that I think you have to fill out. But again, another free source if you're in the neighborhood. And Garfield County Libraries have now become a distribution site for Narcan. So if you have the $45 and can go pay for it, but there are still a variety of free opportunities out there. Of course, there is some concern that these free opportunities may eventually dry up, as it's been costing like millions upon millions of dollars for the state to run this free Narcan program, which is amazing and clearly saving a lot of Coloradans' lives. But we also want folks to go out and get the free supplies while they can, because unfortunately, like with most things, there's no guarantee that it'll last forever. And sometimes things change suddenly in the world of legislation. So excited to see what comes up in the legislative sessions this spring for 2025, as I know there's a lot of conversations happening around ensuring continued free access to Narcan, as well as the generic equivalents and other brands. There are other brands out there. As long as the base ingredient is naloxone hydrochloride, you are good. Most of them come in a nasal spray. We do still provide intramuscular injections, which is actually a bit of a cheaper option from the grand old state perspective. So if you're comfortable giving intramuscular injections, those are also actually pretty safe and easy to do, but you know, not for everyone. And so that's why there's so many wonderful nasal spray options out there for y'all. As always, if you do have more questions about anything I've talked about today, or are interested in learning more or getting involved or even maybe being on Chemical World, you can reach out to me at Maggie@HighRockiesHarmReduction.com. And you can visit our website to learn more, www.HighRockiesHarmReduction.com. And you can also follow at High Rockies Harm Reduction on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. And feel free to reach out to me through whatever communication mode feels best for you, and we can get you connected with services. We can talk about why maybe some of the stuff I said today doesn't feel right for you, and maybe you can teach me something, because I am always excited to learn more and excited, apprehensive, and interested to see what lessons await in 2025 as we continue to provide mobile services, the education and training that we do for community members and organizations. A quick plug that we do take requests to provide Narcan trainings or harm reduction trainings, and we're excited to be offering more on how to work with people who use drugs for providers and stakeholders. Our next episode of Chemical World will air on Monday, February 10th at 4 p.m. As always, you can find this and old episodes of Chemical World at kdnk.org or wherever you get your podcasts. A huge thank you, as always, to KDNK for giving us the space to bring this news and information to you. Appreciate y'all. Hope you're having a wonderful Monday evening. And remember, you don't have to be sober to keep your community clean.
We are living in a chemical world, and I am a chemical, gender nondescript. We are living in a chemical world, and I am a chemical. We are living in a chemical world, and I am a chemical girl. You know, we are living in a chemical world, and I am a chemical girl.